front of the moon and to keep the sky nearly as blue as on any normal day. This is an annular eclipse from a Latin word which means ring. Well, the moon is new between the earth and sun during what is night for us tonight. There's an eclipse visible from the other side of the world. But today is also the most distant moon for 1988. So this will be an annular or ring eclipse of the sun. We won't see it, but you might imagine the moon today and tomorrow, up there next to the sun, its hidden companion on the sun's slow march across the sky. For September 10th, that's Stardate. For a copy of our new Stardate magazine, send your name and address to us at the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, Austin, Texas, zip code 78712, and let us know where you hear Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Has been disconnected.
Ring damage. Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Dies ist viel besser.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Hall.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
The unity is in our head.
Do not push a key in 3 seconds. You will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Very good evening to you at 10 minutes after 10 o'clock on this rather nice Saturday night. It's not bad, it's not great, it's not incredible, but it'll do. Yes, Saturday night, September 10th, 1988. I don't know if anything famous happened on this day, and you can be sure George Bush doesn't know if anything famous happened today, but it's a nice day. Yeah. And this is Brain Damage. I'm Eric Corley, back after a 2-week hiatus, so to say. And here for 2 hours of Brain Damage. Brain Damage, as you'll only hear on a station like WUSB. And what better way to start off a program called Brain Damage than to find out what's going on in the rest of the world, to see what's what the Associated Press considers the top news stories. And a bit later on, we'll be taking your phone calls at 632-6901, talking about all kinds of fun and interesting things. And that music that just popped up here is something new we've gotten. The Gil Evans Orchestra playing the music of Jimi Hendrix. I thought that might be nice to have underneath the news as we take a look at what's happening. Firefighters in Yellowstone National Park got a hand today from Mother Nature. A park spokeswoman says scattered showers fell in the southern half of the park, while the rain was nothing of any great significance. How could rain be nothing of any great significance? Rain is the most incredible thing in the world. Hey, these park rangers, they don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, she said the moisture did increase humidity and assist in firefighting. The park was closed to tourists for another day. Well, Hurricane Florence is over, but some areas in the storm's wake are facing the possibility of tornadoes. One tornado was reported in Louisiana, and the National Weather Service, as far as I know, there's only one, warns that more are possible in Mississippi and Alabama. More tornadoes, that is, not weather services. Damage estimates for Florence were unavailable, but appear to be relatively minor. You know, this music's very distracting. That's enough of that. I concentrate on the news with all this music playing. Maybe we'll get to that later on. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service is keeping an eye on Tropical Storm Gilbert, or perhaps that's pronounced Gilbert. At last report, The center of the storm was about 300 miles southeast of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Forecasters expect Gilbert to develop into a hurricane. I like that one much better. Drench the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico tomorrow morning. Yes, authorities say up to 60,000 gallons of crude oil from a burst underground oil line has rushed into the Los Angeles River. Authorities say the pipe break closed Ventura Boulevard in the Encino area, as well as exits from the Ventura Freeway. Mobil Oil spokesman says contractors have been hired to clean up the streets and barriers were placed in the river to prevent crude oil from reaching the ocean. The cause of the break is unknown. And Mobil does not say they're sorry or anything like that. But what do you expect? Eastern Airlines is holding true to its plans and today began laying off about 4,000 employees. The president of the Machinist Local says people are devastated. A company spokesman says laid off employees with seniority can transfer to other cities, bumping newer employees out of their jobs. And then they will be devastated. Eastern's unions will argue against the layoffs in court later this month. Lloyd Bentsen was the only member of a presidential ticket out actively campaigning today. The Democratic vice presidential nominee toured a major site for violent gang activities in Southern California. It's a good idea, get the violent gang vote. He blasted GOP presidential nominee George Bush's role in the administration's anti-drug campaign. Bentsen said Bush had led the war against drugs as vice president and blew it badly. Yes, the first direct talks in more than 2 weeks in the Iran-Iraq peace negotiations. I'm sorry, I said I would say Iraq-Iran from now on. Let's try that one again. The first direct talks in more than 2 weeks in the Iran... I did it again. The first direct talks in more than 2 weeks in the Iraq-Iran peace negotiations have ended in Geneva with no reported progress. The UN-mediated talks are scheduled to resume tomorrow. The talks were halted after less than 4 hours, suggesting an impasse over Iraq's refusal to move the negotiations to New York and Iran's support of a recess and change of location. And finally, a nationwide poll indicates most teachers feel left out of critical decisions affecting classroom life. The president of the National Education Association says the survey by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching endorses her belief that teachers are treated like very tall children instead of professionals. I know some teachers that wouldn't even qualify for very tall children treatment. But that's neither here nor there. It's 21 degrees Celsius outside. That's 70 degrees on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting it to be clear tonight with the low around 60. And for tomorrow, sunny. High will be in the upper 70s. For tomorrow night, clear. Low in the upper 50s to just around 60. Once again, 21 degrees Celsius, 70 on the Fahrenheit scale. And good evening to one and all. The program is called Brain Damage, and we're with you up until about midnight or so. And to explain what's been going on over the last couple of weeks, well, this may take some time, but let's try it anyway. Last week, I was supposed to be here, but I wasn't because I was both sick and carless, and when you both of those... You take it as a sign from the gods. You don't want to go anywhere or do anything. Just want to stay home and feel self-pity and that kind of thing. So that's what I did last week. The week before that was a bit more pleasant. I was out in Michigan. In fact, I called the program. Well, I attempted to call the program. I'll get into that in a minute. And we broadcast something from there. I'm not quite sure what it was. But it was nice to get out and see another part of the country. That's two states this summer that I have been in for the first time, Maine and Michigan. And I believe a summer that you knock off two states that you've never been in before is a good summer. You feel like you've accomplished something. And one of these days I'm going to make a map of what states I've been in, what states I haven't been in, and figure out how I'm going to chart the rest of them. But if you were listening... a couple of weeks ago, you may have heard something over the airwaves which sounded a bit unorganized and perhaps disturbing to the ear. And If you were listening at the moment, you would have heard the people who were on the air, namely Bill Fox and Mort McCloskey, the two people that I had fill in for me on that Saturday 2 weeks ago. They did not really know what was going on because, well, nobody could understand what was going on. They were talking on the air pretty much as I am now, and all of a sudden this music started playing underneath them, and it didn't stop there. It got louder and louder until you could barely hear poor Bill Fox or Mort McCloskey as they attempted to do a radio program for 2 hours. And the feeling at the time was something really strange and bizarre was going on. Where was this music coming from? Who was doing it? Was it a pirate radio station? Were they taking over our airwaves? Was there something seriously wrong with the sun or something like that? And all these sunspots causing radioactivity and who knows what? But if that was happening, why would there be reggae music playing underneath somebody? Why would it be fading up and drowning people out just when they were trying to say something? It was pretty intense, I'd have to say, for almost the entire 2 hours that went on. And for those of you who are listening, I can imagine the confusion you must have felt not knowing what it all meant, what was the point. And ever since I got back, I've been deluged with people demanding, some people asking, some people demanding, others just intently curious as to just what the hell was going on that night. And I wasn't really able to give a definitive answer, but what we have pretty much ascertained is that it was somebody's idea of a joke here at the radio station, a joke that obviously went a bit too far and did not really sound all that funny. And my apologies go out to both Bill Fox and Mort McCloskey for all the work that they put into the show that they couldn't do because someone was drowning them out with music. And, of course, my apologies go out to the listeners who, I hope, stayed and tried to listen, but didn't really get much out of it. One thing that I did learn out of all this was that we have quite a few people who listen to this radio program and who stick with it through thick and thin, and that was certainly the thin part of it, I must say. The really disturbing part about all this, though, and of course that in itself is disturbing enough that something like that would go on. I mean, we've had jokes here before. We play jokes on each other all the time. You have somebody reading the newscast in another room, and you run into the back and you pick out that old Pink Floyd album of Relics with a crazy face on it, and you hold it up on the glass, and eventually the person is going to look up from their script and see that crazy face on the album. And eventually they are going to lose it completely, start laughing, and fall on the floor. And that, my friends, is what radio is all about. To be able to do that to somebody, or to be able to see them somehow make it through. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people witness the most incredible things going on in front of them, the most distracting events, and yet somehow it doesn't bother them. It doesn't faze them a bit. Now, either they're robots or something, not human, or they just have a very good sense of control and they should be in the military or something. We've had some incredible newscasters here that can just take a lot of abuse, because traditionally newscasters get the most abuse. I don't know why that is. I guess because they come in for their five-minute stint and the DJ is sitting there behind the board, and he's got the ultimate control. He can make funny noises and play weird sound effects in the background and turn off the person's mic. So the temptation is there. And I'd be lying if I said that I haven't bowed to that temptation myself, and I'd probably be lying if I said there's anybody on the station that hasn't bowed to that temptation. You can have a lot of fun. You can do a lot of imaginative things. I remember once the most imaginative thing I probably saw on this station was a pair of headphones plugged in on the other side of the room that suddenly began talking, and no one could figure out how it was done. There was a voice inside saying, "Help, get me out of here." And I believe it was even on a Saturday night on a program called the Saturday Night Circus, maybe 10 years ago. And that was incredible as we tried on the air to figure out where the voice was coming from, and it became a whole big thing. And what it eventually turned out to be was somebody had wired the board, the console, into a phone line clear across campus in another building. And that's where the person was piping their voice through. And that is an example of how you can use radio to be imaginative and have a bit of fun. But it's pretty obvious, and I think it's obvious to all the people listening and the people on the radio station that have commented on this, that the quote-unquote joke of 2 weeks ago was really not all that funny and was pretty detrimental as far as the sound of a radio station goes. I heard a tape of it, and I don't want to be associated with that. And perhaps the most disturbing part of this whole thing, the thing that several people brought up to me, and it's something that that really bugs me. The folks on the air were trying, and I emphasize the word trying, to read part of a speech by Martin Luther King, it being about 20 years since that speech was given, or at least 20 years since the Democratic Convention, which a lot of things were being remembered, 1968 and 1988, and all those parallels were being drawn. So they were attempting to read this speech, and every time they would read a sentence, the people who were playing the music in the background would turn it up so that you couldn't hear what they were saying. And the people came up to me and they said, "What is? Did you have some kind of racist person take over the airwaves that you didn't want a Martin Luther King speech to be heard?" And it's hard to answer something like that. Personally, I don't think that was the case. I think what we're dealing with here is not racism. I think it's just plain ignorance. They probably weren't even listening to what was being said and just playing with music and turning it up and that kind of thing. But, of course, ignorance is one of the key factors of racism, so given a number of years, perhaps it could develop into that, but I don't think that was what was happening, and I certainly hope not. And, again, my apologies to anything offensive that may have gone on. And it just goes to show, though, that like anywhere else, and I mean anywhere else, things like this happen. No organization, no group of people, no one individual is perfect, and the difference is we talk about it here. We mention it. We don't try to ignore it. Something like that happened on a commercial radio station, you'd never hear about it again, and that would be the end of it, and no one would ever even make reference to it again, even inside the offices. But on a station like WUSB, we know we're not perfect, and we constantly call attention to that fact, but we also call attention to all the other things in the world that aren't perfect. It's kind of sad that to this day, not a thing has been done about this. And this is really the only mention that has ever been made of it on the airwaves. No real apology was made, and I think that's long overdue. And what more can I say? It's a microcosm. There's all kinds of parallels you can draw to something like this. I mean, why doesn't the United States say enough already to those people in South Africa? Why don't they say, "You people are racist. We're not going to have anything more to do with you. Period. No questions asked. That's it." Why doesn't the United States do that? It seems like such a logical thing. Why doesn't the United States go to Israel and say, 200 people is enough to kill already? And just because they're not the chosen ones is not a reason to kill. So until you stop that nonsense, we have nothing more to do with you. Seems like a rational thing to say, but we don't say these things because they'd be inconvenient. And that's exactly the word I heard over the last couple of weeks, when I was hearing the reasons why nothing was really going to happen as far as this goes, why no one was really going to be yelled at or no action was going to be taken to ensure that it didn't happen again, it would be inconvenient. And that's something we have to take a look at. It goes every level. United States government, with all the crazy dictatorships that we embrace because it would be inconvenient not to. New York State, with their budget cuts, a direct result of the federal budget cuts, but something that could be helped on the state level, of course. It would be inconvenient to fight that. More convenient to destroy the educational system. Suffolk County. Why didn't Suffolk County come out against Shoreham 15 years ago? Had they done that, we wouldn't be in the mess we were in today. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't economical to say, close a nuclear power plant, don't build a nuclear power plant. Wasn't the American thing to do. Stony Brook administration. Here at the State University at Stony Brook. Why are they so insensitive to the needs of students? Why are there cockroaches running around all the dormitories? For 20 years, nothing has changed. Ask any student. The student government, polity, and their love of bureaucracy. Ask any student group how easy it is to get things done with the student government. It's almost impossible. And then you have a student group like WUSB, and we're not immune either. And take a look at your own circle of friends. See what kind of things you embrace. Fashion, the various fads that go on. There's a mandatory way you have to behave when you're in a circle of friends. You know, you can't be too much of an individual. And that's probably the hardest one of all. To break out of that, because you need your friends. You have to have friends. You can quit a job. Or you could say to hell with the U.S. government. But you can't walk out on all your friends because you have to dress a certain way and espouse certain views while you're in their company. So all these levels, every level there are hypocrisies where it's more convenient to just keep your mouth shut and not say, hey, this is wrong, and damn it, I'm going to do something about it. And I guess the last level, of course, the last level would be yourself. And I was thinking about this before and asking myself, how many times have I seen some kind of injustice going on and not said something about it? Not just world injustice. You know, it's a lot easier to say something about, oh, this really stinks in South Africa, this really stinks over in Southeast Asia. You know, those Khmer Rouge people, they're really nasty. They tend to murder everybody. But if you see somebody being beaten up on a bus or something, do you do something about it, or you just kind of try to mind your own business and not get involved? That kind of thing. The one-to-one basis. And I know I've been guilty of that more than a few times, of just not speaking out enough when you see something that obviously is wrong. So it's probably a matter of starting at the point you can control most, which is your own individual self, and getting together a certain set of values and sort of applying those to everything else. Applying those to yourself, and then your circle of friends, and then any organization you're a part of, any organization that organization is a part of, and then the government, and then the world government, etc., etc. So, I guess that's kind of my philosophy on the whole deal. So this has kind of mushroomed into a whole big lecture on values and why certain things are gotten away with and others aren't. You know, if you play working class hero, you're liable to be kicked off the air because it's got bad words in it. But it's one of the greatest songs ever written. And there's something wrong about that. But we don't have a choice. We're a radio station that has to follow the ambiguous rules of the FCC. And that's a major problem for us. But a radio show can be sabotaged on the air and nothing gets done. That's the real tragedy here. But at least, as I said before, unlike most other organizations, unlike a lot of people, we talk about things here. We don't shut people up. We take phone calls. We let people talk. And that's why what happened a couple of weeks ago was so beneath us. Because that was somebody trying to shut someone else up and succeeding. And that's the kind of thing we don't want to see happen here. We want to give people a voice. And radio is one of the best ways of doing that. It's 34 minutes after 10 o'clock. Have I really talked for 20 minutes like this? Yes, I guess I have. Probably be apologizing for this next week, but that's just the way it is. The show that constantly is apologizing for itself. Brain damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook. We're on till midnight. Our phone number is 632-6901. If you're on campus in a dormitory and you have one of those strange new phones, just dial 269-01. And I guess do something with the time you save not dialing the 6 and the 3. But for all of you in the real world, 632-6901. And we're going to talk about all kinds of fun things tonight, including George Bush, of course. But if there's anything on your minds, let's hear it first. Area code 516-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, it's Andrew Goldberg.
Andrew, you're number one again.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. How you been?
Okay, but did you hear last week's episode?
Yeah, well, folks, now, after going into this whole big speech on what happened 2 weeks ago, I completely forgot to mention what happened last week when Chris Crowley filled in for me. Apparently, and this is something that that I'm not going to apologize for because, well, I obviously had nothing to do with it, and second of all, it's kind of funny, but I'm sure Andrew doesn't feel that way. Someone called up and said they were Andrew, and it wasn't Andrew, of course, and, well, how do I know this is really you, Andrew?
This is me because my voice didn't sound it. Should I tell you my information about me?
No, that's not necessary, but, well, suffice to say, somebody called up last week and said they were not Andrew, and, well, how did you feel when you heard that?
Well, I just felt like I was embarrassed, really.
Uh-huh.
Like, my teacher, I'm not going into the sixth grade, I'm going into seventh. My teacher does not do judo on us.
That's what the person said, huh?
Yes. And, you know, it's just really stupid what he said. Do you have, like, a tape recording of that in the studio?
We might. I don't have one myself, but we usually record things to go on the air for various reasons, and I'm sure it exists. But, you know, I don't think there's going to be any criminal prosecution or anything like that.
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but I just want to let the audience know what a big loser this guy is.
Well, you know, the thing with big losers is you never have to tell people they're big losers. They usually do a pretty good job of that themselves.
Okay, I have my mother here with us. Can she just say hi?
Who do we have?
My mother.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
The mother of Andrew Goldberger.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
She doesn't want to really speak because she's kind of nervous.
Radio shy, huh? Well, She's got an incredible kid. You can tell her I said that.
Okay.
All right, anything else, Andrew?
Well, I didn't tell you this because I've been waiting to tell you this. Remember I was going back to camp for a week?
No, I don't, but I can believe it.
Okay, well, I went back to camp for a week, and remember all those discussions about the FCC and about the heavy metal and everything?
Yeah, the PMRC and censorship and all that kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, remember that that church guy who said, like, the Ozzy Osbourne and everything? He was quoting him?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's now... I changed my mind about the subject because I was in camp and all my bunk, two of my bunkmates listened to Slayer and Megadeth and Guns N' Roses, which I think is the stupidest group.
Yeah.
And they were blasting it all night. And what could I do about it?
Well, I don't know what your point is.
You said that. Well, I always said that if you don't like it, don't listen to it. How was I not supposed to listen to it?
Well, now, would you have felt any better if they were blasting the Carpenters?
No, it was blasting the music, but still...
That has nothing to do with the content of the music.
Well, no, because I heard all the stuff.
Well, did it make you do anything crazy? Did you go out and slaughter a goat or something?
No, but I still didn't like listening to it, you know... Kill your mother, worship the devil, those things.
Uh-huh. Well, I could see not appreciating that very much, but I think what you have there is more of an individual type of violation, you know, of someone else's rights. You know, noise pollution is what it was.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have anything to do with what they were saying in the song. I mean...
Well, I think I'd rather have listened to the Carpenters or something.
Uh-huh.
Because it's horrible listening to that. I can't believe that...
Well, it's a question of taste. It's a question of taste. Some people like certain kinds of music, others don't, but nobody should have to listen to something that they don't want to listen to. And that goes for being in an office, being in a store, and hearing the same old radio station, and we all know what it is. I'm not going to say it on the air, but why do I have to listen to that damn radio station everywhere I go? And I don't mean USB. It would be nice if USB was piped into a couple of elevators. I might make for some interesting conversation, but... I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing the same thing. Who decides that this is what we're going to listen to? And it's the same songs, the same announcers, the same crap over and over again. You know, it's that's what really bothers me.
You must be talking about ALK and BLI, right?
I'm not talking about any station in particular, but if you go in elevators or supermarkets or you know, live a normal life, you probably know what I mean.
Okay. Well... I just didn't like it, and I couldn't do really much about it. If it was lighter, I would like it better, because I do like to sleep, and I'm sure a couple other people who listen to this program like to sleep, too.
Well, they didn't want to sleep, is that correct?
What?
I don't think they wanted to sleep, right?
The people listening to it?
Yeah.
Well, no, they just wanted to listen.
Okay, so what you have there is some people wanted to sleep, other people didn't want to sleep, and the people who didn't want to sleep... didn't care that the other people wanted to sleep. It's really got nothing to do with the music. It's the attitude of the people playing the sound.
I don't think so, because if someone who liked classical music would be a little more courteous, because music does have some type of control over someone's attitude.
Well, that's not entirely true. I know people who would play classical music that don't give a damn about anybody else, and, you know, they would take offense that you even interrupted their symphony to tell them to turn it down.
I might be like that. Do you know anyone in the opposite way, heavy metalist, who would definitely turn it down?
Oh, sure. I know some heavy metal people that are the nicest people in the world. You can never judge somebody based on the kind of music they listen to.
Okay, but there's some way of knowing, okay, because I think
you could have judged it. Based on the people you were with, you probably had a pretty good idea what kind of people they were because you saw them. But, you know, we can't judge all the people that listen to this music that we don't see. And that's the danger.
Yeah. You couldn't see them, but believe me, they were strange.
Uh-huh.
And I found out that Ozzy Osbourne, he does kill a dog before every single concert.
Well, I think the ASPCA would have something to say about that. I don't know if that would be permitted around here.
Yeah. I just felt, I want to change my statement. If you like it, don't play it near other people.
Yeah, be courteous. That's not a hard thing to do.
Well,
courtesy is contagious, but it is curable.
Yeah, but for some people, it isn't.
Yeah. Well, look, Andrew, thank you very much for calling. I'm glad you had fun at camp.
Okay.
And we're going to go to some more calls.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Sorry about that. 632-6901 is our phone number. Give us a call, 632-6901. I heard we had a lot of what we call virgin callers last week. Chris Crowley said he had a couple of bingos, which means all five lines lighting up at once. I've got a couple of lines lit up here, so make me feel good and light up the lines. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on...
Hello, I just wanted to say...
And he waited about 20 minutes to say it. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Hello? You know, you must be on one of those new phones on campus here that don't work. There's plenty of them going around where you talk into the mouthpiece and nobody hears you. You may very well be talking right now, but I can't hear you. And no one else can either. There's a little red light on in the phone, but we can't hear a thing.
Who is this?
Ah! I woke you up. This. Who is this?
Yeah.
Did you not call me?
You called me.
I called you.
My phone rang. I picked it up.
Uh-huh. You're on the radio station now, on WUSB in Stony Brook. We're doing a live call-in show, and I think I can get the listeners to appear in court for me and back me up when I say you called me.
Am I going to get paid for this?
You're going to get paid for this?
Yeah.
You'll be lucky if you don't get billed for it.
Actually, I like USB very much, and I'm glad to be on the air.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Now that you are on the air, is there something you want to say to the literally millions of people who are listening?
Yes, I'd like everyone to have a nice night and work for world peace.
Oh, how can we do that, though?
I have no idea.
That's the problem. Nobody knows. We just know it's a nice thing, but we don't know what to do.
Maybe you've got a suggestion.
Well, my suggestion is start with yourself.
Right.
And just be a peaceful person. You know, pat dogs as you go by in the street. And don't let bad things happen unremarked.
I like that. That's good.
Where are you or where have you been called from?
Well, I'm here at my office phone.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're on campus?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. How are these new phones working out for you?
I guess they're pretty funny because I really didn't call you.
I believe you. I believe you.
Which is strange. But what can you do?
Now, tell me something. Your phone must have been ringing for a long time.
It was for quite a while.
Now, your phone rang, you picked it up, and what did you hear? You heard the phone ringing on this end?
Saying something.
And you stayed on to find out what it was going to answer with?
Sure.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Tell me something, sir. Do you know what our frequency is?
Well, what's your station?
WUSB. We're right here on campus.
You're 91.
90.1.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good. It's important that people on campus know about this radio station because that's what we're here for. Well, we're here for the whole community, too, but we're here for the campus. And I don't think they listen enough. So let's hear from some on-campus people.
Have a nice night.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
An unsuspecting person drawn into the madness here on Brain Damage. 632-6901. If you're on campus, just dial 26901. And tell us you're on campus because we like to know who's on campus and who isn't. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. This is Stiltskin.
This is what?
Stiltskin.
Oh, okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Centreach.
Centreach.
Yeah, I'm not from on campus or anything.
Okay.
Why isn't Crowley here anymore? Is it because what happened with him and Dave Fita?
What happened what?
Him and Dave Fita.
Who's Dave Fita?
On Radio 60 AM, WICC. We're broadcasting from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
WICC. What happened? Tell me about it.
Well, I called up and I told him that his show reminded me of another one on a different station. And he asked for the call letter to the station, and I told him.
Uh-huh.
And then he started insulting Dave Fita and WICC, and somehow word got to Dave Fita. So he called up the station, and they had about five people on, including the programming director. And they called up Chris Crowley, and they asked him about it, and he was talking like, he was trapped, and then he was in a real hurry to get off the phone.
Now, when was this? Last week?
Yeah. I believe it was,
Now, you're telling me that Chris Crowley, when he filled in for me last week, insulted somebody in WICC, and then, during the same show, WICC called?
No.
Oh, when did they call?
I think it was, Tuesday.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how do you know they called?
Because I was listening to the WICC. He called.
WICC called?
Chris Crowley. Dave Feeder was on the air.
He was on the air, and he called on his radio program to us.
Yeah, and then he got patched through to Chris Crowley's house.
Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah?
For somebody on a so-called professional radio station in a garbage dump like Bridgeport, Connecticut, no offense to anybody outside of the radio station of WICC, the garbage comes from 600 AM, okay?
Sure.
It doesn't come from anyone else, any people living there. It comes just from that amplitude modulation that they put out, okay? And I've been meaning to say this for a long time because that radio station has always gotten on my nerves.
Those
people, they only have the right to call themselves a radio station. Do you know what a radio station is? I'll tell you what a radio station is. It's a place where you can say things, where you can play music, where you can have call-in shows and call-out shows and all kinds of things like that. WICC, they might as well be a bunch of plastic morons.
Do all of that at WICC.
Huh?
They do all of that at the...
But it's true. I believe in speaking the truth.
That's
and any commercial radio station, and I'll tell you something, I've never heard of this Dave Feeder person, okay? I've never heard of him because I don't like listening to things like that.
You'll hear it because I'm recording this, man.
Well, you know, I'm not scared of Dave Feeder. I'm not scared of anybody over there. I'm not scared of Howard Stern or...
He's not at that station, I don't think.
Well, I'm not scared of anybody. Even Garrison Keillor I'm not scared of. So you can tell them, you know... I'm sorry Chris Crowley had to take the rap for it. He was merely espousing my point of view.
Well, the tape will get to him.
Now, the best time to reach me is during the afternoon on weekdays. Yes. So make sure you... When is their show on?
They have guests on from 10 to 12.
10 to 12.
And then they have on-screen calls from 12 to 2.
Uh-huh. Well, 12 to 2 would be the best time to get me because I'm never up at 10 to 12. So you can tell them they're a bunch of wimps. I don't think they'll ever call me.
12 to 2.
Huh?
That's 12 to 2 a.m., you know.
Oh, at night?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely up then.
Fine, and we can contact you at the station?
Oh, yes. For sure, definitely.
He's going to clobber you.
I'm not as scared of him.
You will be.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Boy, can you believe the kind of things we have to put up with here? Wow, it's 10:51 here on a Saturday night, and Joe, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well tonight, Eric.
That's the sound of a microphone. Well, you never hear that in WICC. We touch our microphones on the air.
Now, is this thing working right? Because I just plugged this in again last night.
Oh, I believe it's working. It sounds like you have talk a little bit more.
Okay, I'm talking right now.
All the modulating, yes. You're fine.
Yeah, we had it moved into the other room the other night. Steve Kreitzer had his band from...
Yeah, last night I was here for that. It was incredible. Incredible music. WICC would never play music like that. This guy was doing the 7-Eleven Heaven song. Did you hear that?
Yeah, going shopping with 36 friends or maybe more.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was great stuff.
Going to feed ourselves like never before. I really like those guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing you hear on a station like this. Jim Wiener is back. Jim, you got food.
Yep. Speaking of 7-Eleven.
That's right, he came from 7-Eleven. What do you get?
Well, you know...
Let's move that microphone out.
I know everybody wants to hear about our culinary arrangements here, so I'm going to get right on the mic. You know, there's a culinary crisis down at, I don't want to say that. I'm a bad mouth. It's a perfectly fine place.
A local convenience store.
right. Nothing wrong with the food or the drink or anything like that or the personnel. But I, for us anyway, Eric, for you and I, there's a culinary crisis, really, that we have to face, you see. If you remember, I guess you do remember, that's what you wanted to eat, you had asked me...
What happened to it?
Oh, nothing actually happened to it, it just didn't exist. They were out of hamburgers.
You know,
so
I went there once.
Call.
Let me tell you something. I went there once and I asked for a hamburger, because they were right there, and I said, hey, can I have that hamburger there?
Uh-huh.
You know, in the foil wrapping and everything. And I said, oh, no, that's no good anymore. It's like... Why isn't it good? It's after midnight.
Was it a moral judgment?
An hour ago, they were selling the thing, and now it's no good, and you don't want to touch it. So it makes you wonder, how old are these things anyway?
Maybe second by second, there's some type of process that's
they were emphatic, very emphatic about not selling that. It was a rule. It was a law.
Law enforcement agencies should take note that money is changing hands here as these gentlemen speak.
This is my money.
Well,
what's left of it.
But actually, it did present a crisis for us in that since there was no hamburger, I had to get what the person behind the counter very nicely recommended as a substitute.
And what was that?
A chicken breast sandwich.
I see.
Now, you see, there was also another choice. She suggested a barbecue beef sandwich.
Well, that would have been okay, too. But
that's what I chose.
No,
I chose barbecue beef, thinking that if you want... But unfortunately, I didn't end up not getting it. But a slightly elongated situation here. But see, what happened was I figured if you would ask for a beef-type sandwich, that the barbecue beef would be the closest as opposed to a poultry chicken.
So why didn't
sandwich.
You get it?
I asked for it, but when she came over with it, she noted that one side was nice and soft, but the other side was very hard. And I suppose maybe right in the middle it was just right, and then when the three bears walked in and then Goldilocks walked in. But
I know what happened. You got Pop-Tarts, right?
No. No.
What do we have here? What do we have? I'm starving to death. What do we have?
No. I ended up getting a turkey sandwich and two chicken breast sandwiches. So you have a choice, you see, because I figured the chicken breast was it was shaped like a hamburger because it's in a little rounded type of package. So I got one of those, and I got a turkey sandwich myself. But then I thought to myself, you know, maybe I'd like another sandwich, so I'll ask one of the chicken breast sandwiches. And then on driving back, I thought to myself, you know, I thought maybe Eric would prefer the turkey sandwich. I'll let him choose, and I'll have either two chicken breast sandwiches or a turkey sandwich and chicken breast, and he can have the, you know, whatever he decides.
I don't mean to butt in here, but I am on the air, and I can't eat anything while I'm on the air because it would sound disgusting.
Eric,
so
can I bring one more thing up before you get off the subject here? I'm a member of a moral crusade against obscene publications, and I on my way over here, I ripped a photograph out of a magazine called Satanic Acrobats from Hell, and maybe you could describe like the sheer horror and like disgusting material being portrayed here for your viewers.
I cannot describe this. It's someone standing on their head on a couch, and there's a big Mike Dukakis for President sign in the back, and I see a yellow phone book.
And did you notice the eyes?
The eyes don't appear to be there.
Yeah, exactly. They're out. They're
gone. And there's a couple other people laughing. Oh. This is the weirdest picture I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. That's me.
That is you.
Oh, my God.
Get this away from me.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to say anything.
We are one call away from a bingo. So let's get one more call on the line there. 632-6901. And, Jim, I guess you're going to be in the booth, right?
I guess so. I understand that you can't have the food right now, but how would you like me to leave it for you?
Yeah, why don't you leave it for
me? Just leave it for you?
That way if somebody rambles on for a long time, I can eat something nobody would know.
Fine. I was going to ask if...
we have the other call. We have a bingo.
Bingo. Lassie Hall would be very proud.
I dropped the phone. It's probably broken. Apparently that person just called for the sake of making a bingo because they hung up as soon as we said that.
Well, nice of them anyway.
That means we have an open line if someone wants to call in, 632-6901. We're talking about...
Chicken breast sandwiches. Do you want one of those? Do you want a turkey sandwich? I want to give you a choice because, you know, at that convenience store, freedom of choice is what it's all about, you know.
That's true. Just leave anything here. I don't care.
Anything?
That's what I'm
care.
All about. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't
How about a
give
nice
anything.
Chicken breast sandwich?
That's
How about
fine.
A nasty chicken breast sandwich?
It's fine.
And
what do you have here?
A donut?
Boy, it shows a lot of ingredients for a chicken breast sandwich.
Well.
Six lines of ingredients here. It's pretty hard on this side, too. Look at this. That's pretty damn hard.
Did you, in fact, have a subject, Sam?
Well, actually, what I wanted to do, I wanted to talk about George Bush's perception of holidays and a couple of other interesting things, too. I also wanted to see if anybody on campus had their new phones put in, if they could figure out how to call us. We'd like to sort of get a comment on how it's working out for them here on campus. We've been cutting over to a brand new phone system for the last 3 years. That's how long it took us to adjust to this. But the final process took place, I guess, in the last week or so, where the students finally got these nice, brand-new telephones. And they have to use them. They have to use these phones and no other phones because they're digital, and no other phone will work, and these phones won't work anywhere except here. So there's a lot of new things you have to get accustomed to. They all sound different, they look different, and there's certain rules and regulations regarding how they're used. It's not like a regular phone. So I'd like to hear from students on campus or non-students on campus that have been kind of forced into using these things, if they like them, if they don't like them. 632-6901. If you're on campus, of course, just dial 26901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Oh, just fine. I've been listening to you. It was very interesting. It must have been current campus currents that you pulled that picture out of.
Uh-huh.
What is it? The Acrobat from Hell. Must have been a picture of John Marburger and and company.
Well, no, it wasn't, but it could have been.
It could have been.
It could have been.
Yeah, I'm calling from off campus. I was just listening to you guys. It was very interesting what you were saying about the poverty situation. It was real interesting.
Uh huh. Well, the reason I didn't pick any one group to really come down hard on. I'm just saying that every group has something wrong, and USB is no exception. Polity is no exception. Polity being the student government here. I'm not very much involved in that kind of thing. I'm not a student here anymore, so I don't know what goes on with the student government. I can only judge from what people say in passing, and it sounds like pretty much the same thing that I would say in passing when I was involved.
Because I was involved like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was pretty bad. I don't know. It was pretty bad from the point of view that when we tried passing through legislation to divest student funds from South Africa, you know, via the banks that we were holding the $1 million of student activity fees, it took 3 hours to argue in the Polity Senate, and the vote was close. I was really, really surprised. It was like 17 to 13, and I just couldn't believe it because there were people who were saying, oh, we're going to be hurting the South African government and everything else. It's like, I was just absolutely amazed at how disinterested and how much infighting was going on, simply because, you know, a piece of decent legislation came before them, and they just didn't want to fight for it, you know, and that was 2 years ago, and that was very much up to date.
That's the one thing that has not seemed to have changed since the 1960s is the infighting going on in the student government here. It just never seems to stop, and that's why nothing gets accomplished. And I think a good part of the reason is it's not addressed. People don't say, you know, come on, cut it out already. I mean, they say it all the time, but they don't really do anything about it. They don't say, no more of this can go on. We can't have all this infighting because we never get anything accomplished. And that's a situation I would hate to see happen here at the radio station.
Well, this is what you're seeing happening now. I mean, I know when Bill Fox and I were involved, you know, it was just getting to the point where we were losing more and more of our abilities to get things accomplished, as little as they may be.
Uh-huh.
And we had the problem with the alcohol policy. I mean, we just watched one thing after another go. The FSA, we lost the FSA.
Faculty Student Association?
That's correct.
There is no more Faculty Student Association?
Well, there's a Faculty Student Administration, but it used to have a majority of students on there, and then Jack Marburger came along and said, well, we can't do that.
Uh-huh.
And now you'll find there are administrators on that panel. There are faculty members on that panel. I'm not so worried about them because they share the campus with us. I thought they probably had some of the same complaints we had because they have to deal with the same administration.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the phone system, I mean, it's just like one thing after another. Now you got the phone system where you have to have it. Either all six suite mates get the wrong phone, or none of them get it. Now, their thinking is of course,
well,
if...
The way I understand it to work is that everybody pays, I believe, a $65 fee for the school year, and there is one phone installed per two people. So in a suite of six people, there would be three phones.
Right.
And this is the real clincher here. Every student who lives on campus has been assigned a five-digit authorization code. Now, when they pick up the phone, it used to be you would just dial 9 and you get your outside line,
right,
and you'd make a phone call. Now you have to dial 9, hear two little beeps, dial your five-digit code, hear three little beeps, and then dial your phone number. And what's amazing is there's 8,000 students, I believe, or 8,000, 10,000, I don't know exactly how many there are, but there's 8,000 people who get codes, and plus all the office workers that get codes, and these are five-digit codes.
Right.
In other words, it means that just about every 20 numbers there's a code. So what's going to happen now is, and what is happening, in fact, I've heard it from people already, people are just going to be using other people's codes, and there's a whole new problem on campus now where you're going to get phone bills for calls you never made. And why? Because they had to introduce this crazy authorization code scheme.
The computer breaks down, too, because there's a central computer for this system, and when that computer goes out, you're not going to be able to make phone calls out of campus or on campus.
Yeah. Now, just the other day, the whole campus was cut off. This was two nights ago. I tried calling. Every number on campus was busy. It was pretty funny.
Aren't you glad that they did that whole issue with AT&T, you know?
Uh-huh.
That there'd be competition with phones. Isn't it just fantastic? And if you don't get the phone, this is the whole point, though. The polity thought that they were doing such a great job for everybody because they said, okay, we finally argued the administration into saying that you don't have to take the mandatory fee, but nobody in that particular suite can have a phone if that's the case.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Tell AT&T to come in or some other phone company to hook something on the line, which is, it's totally ridiculous the way they have it set up right now for students, because if you have a computer, you have to use their modem, which is an extra fee. If you want to tape messages, you can't use you can't put your own phone to record messages. You have to get their phone mail service.
You can't get an answering machine. Right, it's digital. You can't use anything except their phone. So
what about a converter?
You know, it's everybody's upset about it because it hits them close to home. And, you know, I'm glad people are interested, but there's so many other things, too, that you just let slip by.
Yeah, well, this all happens because, you know, we didn't take enough of an interest when it was in the planning stages. But then again, we didn't know about it when it was in the planning stages. But, you know, this whole thing with having to dial six digits just to get an outside dial tone.
Yeah, well, look at the buildings.
It's crazy.
So look at the buildings today. I mean, they're just falling apart at the seams. They've got the cafeterias down now.
Uh-huh.
Water damage. People have to truck from Roth Quad all the way over to Kelly if they want to get use a cafeteria. It's just like, it's incredible. Why didn't they repair this in the beginning of the summer? Why are they just starting to repair it now? It's just like everything has to get to a crisis, not just with the administration, but with the students before anybody realizes what's going on.
Right. I think when you see that, that's when you can start actually making intelligent conclusions here, because you see, it's not just the administration. The administration is comprised of human beings.
Of course.
The campus police are comprised of human beings, and the students are human beings, and they all kind of foul up in the same way. We're put in different positions, but you see the same different kinds of bureaucracy occurring on different levels. And it goes past the campus into the real world and into the international scene.
It's a good example of that. I mean, just, you know, it's you read the Steal This Urine Test, and Abby Hoffman talks about it. It's nothing new. I mean, it comes in cycles where people have to latch on to something, but they, you know, a lot of other things are of crisis proportions right now, like the trade deficit. There's so many little things, and people just don't want to hear about them because they're just too difficult to solve, so they'll look at something else. They'll get upset about something else, or they'll reshuffle, like with public safety, they'll reshuffle them. They'll actually fire several individuals from public safety because they just can't afford, you know, they'll lay them off because they can't afford them. Then they'll take what they have left and they'll put them in places where you can see them better. And that's not fair to the public safety officers. It's not fair to the students. It's just, it's really ridiculous how you can see, it's all public relations right now. Everything's just PR.
Uh-huh.
If everything looks good, everything is good, you know. And nobody is really too concerned because, hey, it doesn't affect me. Why should I bother? You know, South Africa, it doesn't affect me. You know, the problems in Israel, it doesn't affect me. You know, and it's like the old story, you know. I didn't say anything because they weren't coming for me until there was no one left. And then they were coming for me, you know.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling, sir.
Oh, sure. Take care, now.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
632-6901, if you're on campus, 26901. The program is Brain Damage. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hold on while I lower my radio.
Okay. Sounds like he's got a bad connection, too.
What, is he putting it down on the floor?
No.
Lowering his radio.
Sort of a loud hum there.
Oh.
Actually, he won't be able to hear you, Jim, if he turns down.
Right.
I sort of hear you, sir, but it's kind of difficult.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, who is this?
Where are you calling from?
I didn't call. Where'd you call from?
Oh, someone's calling. You see, Okay, let me explain to you. You're on the radio right now here at WUSB. You must be on campus. Is that correct?
What is what correct? I may be what?
Are you on the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook?
No, I'm not.
Where are you?
I'm at work.
Which is where?
Which is home box office.
I see.
How'd you get this number?
We didn't get this number. Someone called you and then apparently called us. You're on the radio right now. We're doing a call-in radio program. And, yeah, we have this brand-new IBM phone system here, and people can do all kinds of nasty things, and apparently somebody did that.
Really?
Yeah. But now that you're on the air and you're speaking to all of Long Island, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, how's it going?
It's going pretty good over here.
Yeah, I just got into work here.
Uh-huh. Well, was the phone ringing a long time for you?
Yeah, no, no. It must have transferred a couple of places.
Uh-huh.
See, yep. I'm in a special room here in the Cinemax control room.
What do you do?
I'm putting the movies on for Cinemax.
Oh, you're putting the films on yourself?
That's correct.
Wow, so you pretty much put in the videotapes and all, everyone sees it because of the buttons you push.
That's right, yep. For the East Coast.
Do you get a feeling of power doing this?
Absolutely, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of feel do you have being on the radio like this, calling up people?
No, we didn't call you, though. Someone else called you and transferred you to us, but...
I understand, really?
Yeah, it's you can do that kind of thing on this phone system.
Wow. Well, what station is this?
WUSB.
USB,
we're at 90.1 on the FM dial.
Really?
Yeah. You must be in Hop Dog, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, HBO has a big facility there.
Oh, you know it then.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never actually seen it. A couple of people here are wondering if we can request a film.
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay, well,
See, that's the programming. You can call about kind of programming and request a film.
Well, can you want to request a song?
Yeah, sure.
We might be able to work something out there. Go ahead, what do you want to hear?
Let me see. Is there a certain format or anything?
No, we can play anything we want.
Really?
Well, for the most part.
Well, how about for the people of Long Island, we'll play some Instant Karma.
Instant Karma? That sounds like a good idea.
Okay,
we'll try to get to that a little later. This is a talk show, though, because we can't do it on a talk show. But we will, as soon as we play music, we'll try to get to that.
Talk show?
Yeah, well, it's a call-in radio program.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're talking on the air now.
What's your name?
My name's Eric.
Eric, how you doing?
Pretty good.
That's good.
So now that fate has thrown you into our path, perhaps you want to mark down every Saturday night from 10 to 12, we have a talk show here on the radio.
Well, if I had a radio in my control room, I'd definitely listen to it.
Well, might be a good excuse to get one.
Yeah, I guess it could be one. Oh, well.
Well, now you have something to tell your friends at home.
So you probably have somebody, this is what I would suspect, you probably have somebody that knows you here on the campus of the State University at Stony Brook that said, hey, wouldn't it be fun to call this person and put him on the air?
Wow.
And that's what they did, so...
I can't think of one person that goes to Stony Brook.
Well, somebody did it.
Yeah, huh? No, you can't give me the name?
I don't know who it was because our phone just started ringing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You see, we have this brand new digital phone system where people can transfer calls and you never know where it came from.
So you're playing all day on the talk radio with this phone here?
Excuse me?
You talk all day with people over the phone?
Well, for 2 hours anyway.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Just Long Islanders? Or you call all over?
Right now we're taking calls in. Sometimes we make calls out, but right now it's pretty much Long Islanders. We do get some people from Connecticut now and then.
Oh, right, Long Island.
Yeah.
Let's turn Long Island into a state.
that could pose some interesting problems, I guess. But anyway, thanks for being called, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for passing the call through to me. Yeah.
Okay, remember, 90.1 FM. We'll try to play your song later.
I got it down, okay.
Take care.
Ciao.
Bye. So someone is playing games out there with these phones, and it's not a thing we can do about it. Someone is calling someone and then hitting a few special buttons, transferring them to us, and the people who get called think we called them, and of course we think they called us, and there's nothing we can do about it. Isn't that amazing, Jim? Oh, Jim's fallen asleep.
I think I see his shirt.
Well, he's been dozing off a lot. He dozed off in the middle of the Ninth Symphony before. Yeah, he was playing that on the air, and wow, that's something. Classical DJs always does off. But, irregardless, our number is 632-6901 if you want to call us. Call us. If you don't want to call us, your phone will probably ring and it'll be us anyway.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah, so Keep that number written down at all times. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Why, hello.
Hi, you're on campus, I can tell.
No, I'm not.
Ah, well, so much for that. Okay,
you
go ahead.
Seth.
What's that?
Seth, out here in scenic Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai.
What a wonderful town this is.
What's new with you?
Nothing much. Just listening to everything you've been saying so far. Interesting. I don't know what you're talking about and all that stuff. It's pretty true. I mean, at the school that I go to, E.L. Vandermeulen High School, out here, it seems that the administration will go after the people with Walkmans and skateboards before they'll go after the drug dealers.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Because the Walkman, and that is, there's a rule in the school that you can't have Walkmans between, during school hours. You can have it before and after, but you can't have it in school during school hours.
Well, wait a minute, when are you supposed to put your Walkman before?
In your locker.
Oh, I see, okay. But it's in school then, okay, but that's semantics.
Yeah, you know, you're not supposed to listen to it during school hours. And plenty of people do. But what the thing is that the people that the administration there would rather go and, you know, take the people and throw them in detention or whatever, because that's a lot more visible.
Uh-huh.
Rather than go after these drug dealers who are sitting there like 3 feet away while the aide is yelling at some kid for listening to Walkman. You know, because it's a lot less visible.
It's a lot easier to, they're less likely to put up a fight than a drug dealer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. And that even goes on a national level. Because, you know, they'd rather go after music and stuff like that than go after things that actually are destroying this country.
Uh-huh.
There's
definitely a parallel there. I can see that.
It's just, I'm kind of bummed that I'm growing up in the 80s rather than in the 60s or something like that.
If I'm not mistaken, you've called us before, haven't you?
Oh, I call constantly.
Yeah, I seem to remember when we were having a talk about the elections, you called up and you were reading us a selection out of a skate magazine. Is that
uh-huh,
right?
I've got another one here.
Go ahead.
That was pretty interesting last time, and we can hear what you have this time.
Okay, this is... I've been waiting, actually, to say this for the last 2 weeks, because Eric hasn't been on. But, see, Eric, edited a computer magazine?
Well, I still do, a computer hacker magazine.
Well, there's in Thrasher magazine, September 1988. It's kind of long. I mean, not amazingly long, but I'll read it. It's called The Conscience of a Hacker. It's in the... Thrasher has a BBS.
The Conscience of a Hacker?
The Conscience of a Hacker.
Well, wait a minute. We printed an article with that title a couple of years ago. Was it lifted from our magazine, do you know?
I don't think so. It's by The Mentor.
All right, well, go ahead and read it.
Okay, it says, this is before the actual thing. It says, in 1986, I was arrested for a computer-related crime and forced to get out of the Hacker Underground for almost a year. This was my final message back then. Although I am back now, the words are still true, and just as applicable in these days of persecution. Too often hackers are tried and convicted by a sensationalist media which is more concerned with good headlines than with truth. This column is my outlet to tell our side of the story. Another one got caught today. It's all over the papers. Teenage hacker arrested in computer scandal. Hacker arrested in bank tampering. Damn kids, they're all alike. But did you, in your three-piece psychology and your 1950s lowbrow brain, ever take a look behind the eyes of the hacker? Did you ever wonder what makes him tick, what forces shaped him, what may have molded him? I am a hacker. Enter my world. Mine is a world that begins with school. I'm smarter than most of the other kids. This crap they teach bores me. Damn underachiever, they're all alike. I'm in junior high school, or in high school. I've listened to teachers explain for the 15th time how to reduce a fraction. I understand it. No, Ms. Smith, I didn't show my work. I did it in my head. Damn kid, probably copy it. They're all alike. I made a discovery today. I found a computer. Wait a second, this is cool. It does what I want it to. If it makes a mistake, it's because I screwed it up, not because it doesn't like me, or feels threatened by me, or thinks I'm a smartass, or doesn't like teaching and shouldn't be here. Damn kid, all he does is play games. They're all alike. And then it happens. A door opens to a world, rushing through the phone lines like heroin through an addict's veins. An electronic pulse is sent out. A refuge from the day-to-day incompetencies is sought. A board is found. This is it. This is where I belong. I know everyone here, even if I've never met them, Never talk to them. May never hear from them again. I know you all. Damn, kid. Tying up the phone line again. They're all alike. You bet your ass we're all alike. We've been spoon-fed baby food at school when we hungered for meat. The bits of meat that you did let slip through were pre-chewed and tasteless. We've been dominated by sadists, or ignored by the apathetic. The few that had something to teach us found us willing pupils, but those few are like drops of water in the desert. This is our world now, the world of the electron and the switch, the silicon jungle. We make use of an already existing service without paying for what could be dirt cheap if it wasn't run by pirating, by profiteering gluttons, and you call us criminals. We explore, and you call us criminals. We seek knowledge, and you call us criminals. We exist without skin color, without nationality, without religious bias, and you call us criminals. You build atomic bombs, you wage wars, you murder, cheat, and lie to us, and try to make us believe it's for our own good, yet we're the criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. My crime is that of judging people by what they say and think, not by what they look like. My crime is that of outsmarting you, something that you will never forgive me for. I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. You may stop this individual, but you can't stop us all. After all, we're all alike.
Not bad. I have heard that before, and I was mistaken before, and I said that we used that title in our magazine. We printed something called The Constitution of a Hacker, which was kind of similar, but I think this was better written. I've seen that on various computer bulletin board systems.
That was written by a guy who goes under the name The Mentor.
Uh-huh. Well, and it was published in a skateboard magazine, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting because Thrasher is a lot more than a skateboard magazine. I mean, people just look at it on the surface. Although what it is it's sort of fashion now, which is kind of bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. It's, any kind of fashion is sort of,
Bad.
Yeah, I guess that's the only word you can use for it. It sort of takes you away from individuality. And
you were talking before about hanging out with your friends and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I found that out a long time ago, which is why I hang out with people who I know I can be an individual with.
Uh-huh. But that's the best kind of people to hang out with.
You know, I pride myself in being an individual.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, because, some people consider me a nerd, and I usually play on that, and I usually make fun of that, I remember one time I was going around going, hello, I'm a nerd, how are you? And
did you see the article? There was a front page article, I don't know why it was on the front page, in Newsday about what styles are in for kids.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And it was incredible. They were pointing to different articles of clothing and saying why this was in and why the other things are out.
I remember that.
What is the point? What is the point of trying to label people so early in life? As you know, well, this is a jock, this is a nerd, this is a dirtbag, this is a, that's what, school has enough of that already without, the leading newspaper printing it on its front page telling us how people are supposed to dress.
My friend and I usually sit in school and look at people and go, my God, they must have read the Kids Day magazine, the Kids Day article on fashion.
No, that wasn't Kids Day, that was Newsday.
No, but, Kids Day constantly prints what's in and what's out. See, I found out that acid wash jeans are out, so, oh my God. I'm sitting on the outside of society because I've got acid wash jeans on. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever.
I think the one thing that is really in and has always been in from the beginning of time has been to be different. Because when you're different, you make a change and you sort of move the human race forward a little bit.
Unfortunately, that's in only after a while, only after you've been noticed, because when you start...
Yeah, well, no one's gonna embrace you right away. That's the whole point of it.
Because when you are an individual, people look down at you because you don't act the way they do and they feel uncomfortable.
Right, you make things difficult.
Yeah, because you're not going to dress like them and you're not going to sit there and say, well, I'm going to conform to all your stupid little things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something new and different, and people don't like things that are new and different.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think people do like things that are new and different. They're simply scared of being the ones to start the new and different things. If a new and different thing catches on with enough people so that they can like it too without standing out too much, then they'll do it. But if they have to take a stand on something, they'd rather just stay with the crowd. And that's That's what I think should be discouraged. We should encourage people to be different, to be kind of crazy, and to speak their mind. But I want to get some more calls here.
Okay.
So thanks very much for calling.
Sure.
Bye. It's nice to hear from people that value individuality. Is Jim there? No, he's still dozing away, huh?
I think I see him sleep.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. Okay, well, hopefully he'll wake up before midnight and we can get some comments from him. But our phone number is 632-6901. If you're in Connecticut, which I guess many people aren't, then the area code is 516. Jim's up. Are you awake, Jim? Well, he's in there.
His mouth is full.
His mouth is full. Okay, we'll go to this call and then we'll go to Jim. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, this is Stoltzkin again.
Hi, how are you? The guy from Center Reach, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I just had to call back because, you know, what you said about that, man. You said that Bridgeport was a dump.
No. I don't want to get people in Bridgeport upset at me. I said Bridgeport was made into a dump by the people at WICC who are so obnoxious and hateful and all that kind of thing.
Dave Feeder?
Excuse me?
Dave Feeder?
Oh, especially Dave Feeder, yes.
But you said before that you've never even heard of Dave Feeder.
I know. What kind of person can he possibly be then? I've heard of some pretty amazing people, some pretty bizarre people from far away. This guy's in Bridgeport, 12 miles away. I've never heard of him. Meaningless. Dudek. Completely meaningless.
You ever heard of Ron Dudek?
Huh?
Ron Dudek.
Ron Dudek?
Yeah.
I've heard that name thrown about. I always thought it was a joke.
Oh, it's not.
It's not a joke? Well, then I'm sorry.
Well, you badmouthed Dave Feeder, WICC, Bridgeport, and a whole bunch of people in Connecticut. You know.
Well, what would you do? I mean, if you were in a position to act upon that, what would you do?
Oh.
I mean, what have I gotten myself into here?
Well, Dave Feeder's going to hear about this. It's being taped.
Oh, boy, if I could describe the look of dread on people's faces around here, we are shaking.
Really?
We are scared. We are... we're making reservations for the West Coast, is what we're doing.
They should be, because Dave Feeder will kick your butt. He will. You badmouth when you say that the man... Basically, you said that he has no style, that he's unprofessional.
You know what? I think he's a figment of your imagination. I don't think he really exists. Has anyone here heard of Dave Feeder?
No.
No.
No one's heard of him. No one has heard of him. Come on.
You guys are real point. Wait till he calls up your station. Wait till he comes knocking on your door. Wait.
Hey, we probably wouldn't hear him knocking on our door.
Hey, you're so funny, George.
George? Oh, that's the final straw. I can take a lot of stuff, but when somebody calls me George, that's it.
Cornmeal.
That's it. Transferred him to Neverland. 632-6901. Jim, are you...
Yes, sorry, I wasn't at my... at
where
my
have
post.
You been?
Well, I was... See, I was eating this turkey sandwich.
Still?
Yeah, I started out with a chicken breast sandwich. It was good. And then I went to this turkey sandwich, and the way the turkey sandwich was put in the little tray, I was afraid of crumbs spilling out all over the studio, so I went out into the hall by a large garbage receptacle and ate over the garbage receptacle.
You're the only person on this radio station that would go to that much trouble.
Well, I just didn't want to,
cause any trouble.
And being the one who has to clean up the board in there and clean the crumbs out of the microphone, I thank you very much.
Oh, then you're quite welcome.
Oh, boy.
But, let's see, if I could hear coming out of the loudspeaker, I kind of discerned that some of the conversation about conformity versus people being individuals, and you mentioned something about a Newsday or something, or the Cohen mentioned something about a Newsday.
There was an article in Newsday, I believe it was on Tuesday, that, I don't know why, I guess it was a slow Newsday or something, no pun intended, but they printed this front page picture about what's in with kids these days, what kind of clothing is in, how the hair is styled, and everything like that. And I don't know, maybe I was asleep when I was going to school, but I never thought about that kind of thing. I still don't think about that kind of thing, about how to dress, about how to cut, you know, I just didn't want to look like a freak or something like that. But see an article in the front page of the paper pretty much commanding you how to dress, it's scary.
It is.
Because people are going to emulate that. They're already emulating it enough.
It is.
And you know, to be out, to be not cool, is like the worst thing when you're growing up in junior high school and high school. So I think if anything, we have to tell people it's cool to be whoever you are, and I don't see that enough.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I can remember when I was in junior high school, there was a certain consciousness as to fashion. I don't know if it made the front page of a major metropolitan newspaper, but so maybe that's a sign that there's even more attention being paid to it nowadays. Of course, that reminds me of this program that was on, it's not even necessarily just this particular program, but this is a phrase that's used very often, or had been used within the last few years, to describe what was in vogue and what wasn't, and it seemed to be an issue that certain segments of the media perceived as very important to many people, because they would say things like, you can find out, let's say by watching a certain program or listening to a certain program, what's hot and what's not. Mm-hmm. And what I find amusing about that is that I could have told somebody that. They wouldn't have to turn on that television. For example, a stove is hot. A refrigerator is not. A car engine, when it's been running a while, is hot. An ice cube is not. And apparently, this was something that many people weren't aware of, and they apparently devoted an entire television program to this. I don't know if it's still running. I guess that there's a pretty close to unlimited number of things that one could fit into those different categories. But anyway, I mean, all kidding aside, that seems to be a very important issue with people, to find out what's considered in style in terms of some arbitrary judgment, and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with you that, I mean, I personally feel that there's nothing wrong with somebody wanting to dress or be aware of or be involved in activities or fashions that apparently many people in a particular country or state or region or demographic group is interested in. I think that's fine. But I would agree with you that it gets to an obsessive point when the implication is that individuality or somebody going beyond the norm, certainly as long as being harmed by it, is something pathological. And I think sometimes that's the implication, that there's something to be ashamed about if someone is a little different, or if someone is conforming and sees someone that's a little different, they feel that they have to be disparaging, or that they have to discount what that individual is about internally in terms of their thoughts and their feelings.
I guess we all do that to a degree. I mean, we look at somebody and we say, that person's a jerk, and that person's, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, it gets to the point where even when you're driving in a car, a certain kind of car cuts you off, and it's all that damn Camaro.
Start
judging people based
definitely.
On, you don't even see who they are.
No question about it.
But you start thinking about the kind of person it is, you know, a Volkswagen or whatever. It's really kind of funny.
No question about it. And I think that's even extended to an even further point, becomes the basis for bigotry.
Uh-huh.
But I would agree with you that I'm not immune from that. I'm not saying that I'm holier than anybody else with this concern. But what I'm saying is that certain individuals at least make an attempt not to only deal in superficialities, whereas other individuals seem to throw themselves wholeheartedly into the activity. Don't simply accept it as a human foible and try to avoid it, but actually run towards it as a quality devoutly to be possessed.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I've always had trouble with. When I was growing up, this was no different. But when people would say, "Oh, that person's really good looking. That person's hot. You know, this person is beautiful." Whenever I would say something like that, it would always be completely at odds with what the norm was. And, you know, I could never figure out what was good looking and what wasn't. I mean, I guess I know what's, you know, obscenely ugly. I could probably point that out. But as far as, you know, who is pretty, I mean, it's kind of ironic. In Miss America pageant is going on even as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, you can't point to somebody and say, you're prettier. I just don't think you can do that, because there's so much more to it than that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that...
I've never been able to do that, though. I've never been able to actually, you know, say, well, this person is better looking than another. I always get it wrong. And then I get mad because I'm wrong. How could I be wrong, you know?
Yeah, sure. There is really no right or wrong where that's concerned. And particularly in emotional matters and matters of love, etc., or along the lines of love, people sometimes are conditioned to think that a certain particular appearance in an individual, whether we're talking about a male or a female, is something that qualifies that person to be loved more than another person. And certainly every individual, again, both male and female, have certain preferences as to appearance in a potential love mate. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it gets to the point where...
you have a shopping list.
Well, yes. In other words, and I was going to say, even where people go beyond just individual relationships... well, of course, it's dangerous in an individual relationship if one ignores the issue of inequalities. But going even beyond that, where celebrities become objects of great affection, and it's assumed that because a certain individual, male or female, looks a certain way and has certain qualities that are supposed to make them very much desired by a large number of people, that it makes them more lovable, and this is a faulty assumption. It ignores all of the other qualities that make a person lovable. As a matter of fact, as far as Miss America pageant is concerned, apparently this year the people who run the pageant are, according to a news story I noticed before, they're trying to emphasize that it's not only physical appearance and talent, entertainment talent, that they consider important, but they also consider apparently mental ability and other qualities, inner qualities as well.
.326901. We're talking about individuality and beauty in the eye of the beholder, and all kinds of other things too. Give us a call, 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
You called me right now. Just kidding.
Oh, don't do that to us. Don't do that to us.
Okay.
What's up?
I was listening to what you said, and I think what you said was very controversial.
Very controversial. Well, I guess that's good then, isn't it? Because this is a program of controversy.
Yes. I think that's why you brought it up, because...
What do you mean it's not a program of controversy?
No, I think that's why you brought it up.
Someone in the studio was arguing with me about this. This is a controversial show. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. That's right. Controversy. That's what it's all about.
Okay,
Oh, they were just being controversial. I get it. Go ahead.
Now, Eric, I want you to tell me something.
Yeah.
The Newsday article.
Uh-huh.
Now, tell me yourself, do you have one champion sweatshirt?
No, I don't even know what one is. I buy shirts. I don't think of what kind of shirt it is. I might have one without knowing it, but I don't think I do.
No, because they're the most expensive shirt.
Then I'm sure I don't have one.
Okay, no, have you ever seen a shirt with the C on them, the champion? They're the biggest style right now.
I probably have, but I haven't noticed, which tells you something about fashion to some people.
No, because it's really big, and I wouldn't want to be seen in the mall or in school or something, because I'm in junior high school now.
Uh-huh.
And it's really important. Appearance is very, very important, almost as important as individual.
You mean individuality is important in junior high school?
Individuality?
How is it important in junior high school? Give me an example of where individuality is prized.
Well, with your friends. I have friends in my junior high school. Even though there's people from six elementary schools in it.
Uh-huh.
No, because I have a lot of friends from there. And, you know, be yourself with them. But still, I wouldn't want to be seen in, like, a sweatsuit on a date or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because it's important, your appearance and how you look in the public.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, be a slob or anything like that, but would your friends still be your friends if you didn't wear this fashionable stuff? If you wore something that was completely unfashionable, do you think they'd still be your friends then?
Oh, they'd be embarrassed friends then.
They'd be embarrassed just because of what you were wearing?
Yeah, I had this friend once, David Virgilio, and he's still my friend, but before, like, he would be on the bus, and he said, don't sit near me, slob, because I didn't know how to dress before junior high school, like in fourth grade, and he'd say, don't sit near me, slob.
Fourth grade?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had, like, food all over my shirt, and it really looked disgusting.
Well, that I could understand, but I'm saying if you're wearing the wrong kind of shirt, if you're not wearing a Champion sweatshirt or whatever.
Oh, have you ever been to the Smithhaven Mall?
I was there last night, and I haven't been to a mall on a Friday night in a while. It's an eye-opening experience.
Oh, just look at how many Champion shirts, and in excess, you know, the Australian knockout.
Uh-huh.
Nexus, those shirts are very, very popular now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Champion, they're so expensive. They're like Benetton. You know, Benetton.
It's obscene. Half the world, four-fifths of the world is starving, and here we are buying the most expensive sweatshirts just so that we can fit in with our crowd.
Yeah.
Champion, does that ever bother you? No, I guess you're too young to be bothered by that.
Well, Champion socks, okay? One pair of socks cost $8.
Uh-huh. Well, that's something. You can do a lot with $8 if you're imaginative.
Oh, well, if you think one pair of socks, I mean. But, you know, it takes me around 3 weeks of allowance, and I make $9 to get a T-shirt, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's really, really hard, that appearance. And, you know, the biggest disappointment in that article at Newsday that I found out, I almost cried.
What's that?
Stonewash is out.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
Stonewash jeans are out. You know, the acid wash, Stonewash.
Oh, are they now using boulder wash jeans or something?
No. No, it's...
Tell me something. Who decides what's out and what's in?
It's a very good question.
It's polls. It's polls. It's...
I hate polls. You know what polls remind me of? USA Today, and I hate USA Today.
No, this is Newsday.
Passion.
Newsday is good. I even read Newsday, so...
Actually, I generally like Newsday.
Newsday can be good. They can be imbeciles, too, I think.
I know, but, like, Daily News, Newsday, it's easier for kids to understand.
Exactly.
And kids can...
I think you summed it up right there.
No, kids can understand what happens in the world, and I think that's important, because then it's a habit, and then when kids grow up, they can listen to the world, and then all of you people will be in the old folks' homes, and we can take care of the world.
Oh, I love this guy. Yeah.
Oh, well, we can.
You know, speaking of kids, right, and school and things like that, I don't know if you've been aware of the various articles that have been appearing saying that that kids your age can't find the Pacific Ocean on a map, they can't find New York State, they don't know anything. Is that true?
Absolutely. Well, in my class, very strange person. I'm not going to say her name because she might be listening, and she'll kill me. There's a girl in my class last year. She called out in math class, and it was 38 plus 13, okay? And this was sixth grade, but it was like a couple of days after the first day of school.
Uh-huh.
And she said the answer... was 4011.
4011, that's interesting.
Most people don't.
That's correct, too, because the answer is 51.
Yeah, but she said 4011, and...
That's still miles ahead of people that can't find the Pacific Ocean on a map.
Oh, no,
if
I know.
If you throw something at a map, the odds are you're going to hit the Pacific Ocean. That's how big it is, and people can't find it. What's wrong here? Do they teach geography in school anymore?
Well, I know people who
think... I don't think as much as I used to. Really?
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I know there's a person in my class who thought the state... someone asked what state we live in, and they said Mexico.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious.
Andrew, I just wanted to ask, do they... I don't mean this to be funny. Do they teach geography in school nowadays, in elementary school?
Oh, no, there are plenty of people... No, they teach geography, but it's not like I'm sure like in the 50s or something, it wasn't like this. I think they had a much better education level, because now we have these really crappy teachers that don't know what they're talking about. And like I'm sorry, Mom, because my mother's a teacher, an English teacher in junior high school, but she's a good teacher. I've been in her class. She teaches the stuff. Does the work. She might be a little strict and a lot strict at home, but she's a pretty good teacher. And we need teachers like that that are nice, but also they teach the stuff. I mean, I'm not learning one new thing in the whole math class, and I'm in the regular group, not the below group or the advanced, but I'm not learning one new thing. It's just addition. We have these answers like 2 plus 3 in my math book. I mean, I'm a 7th grader.
Hmm. Wow. I was going to say, I think one of the factors that has affected teaching is that it seems that salaries in general for teachers are ridiculously low considering the important role that they play as professionals, considering what they do.
And oh, definitely, but
I think that's one big problem.
I don't think that's the difference. It's the textbooks. It's mm-hmm. the government. But, I mean, it's not... I don't think it's really the money factor, because what's the difference from changing 2 plus 3 to 0.2,000 to plus 3 or something like really complicated, and we like challenging stuff. It's fun to me learning something new, and not always going over the old stuff. You know,
that's true. Review is the worst thing.
Mm. But
I could never liked reviews. You know, always going over the same old stuff.
Oh, it's horrible. Well, this she said. My math teacher, he says, you'll have no trouble passing this course. All we're reviewing is from 2nd to 4th grade.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm 7.
That's amazing.
That's really silly.
I mean, in high school, I'll be learning the ABCs. No, it's
amazing.
I really like to learn something new, and it's not the money, I don't think, because it's not that hard to advance.
I understand what you're saying, yes.
Well, Andrew, we're going to go to a couple more calls here because we have a bunch waiting.
Okay.
Thanks very much for enlightening us, though.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
632-6901, that's our telephone number here. And speaking of ignorance, which is what we seem to spend a lot of time doing here, how many of you caught the amazing blunder by George Bush this past week? I believe it was on Wednesday. He was addressing, of all things, a veterans group, and he made reference to this being the anniversary of Pearl Harbor Day, September 7th, 1941. Of course, it was a mistake. He meant to say December 7th. Well, he meant to give this speech, I guess, on December 7th. I don't know what he meant to do. I'd like to hear from the callers their views on that. Jim, do you have any feelings or insights on that?
Well, I think it... It is amazing to me...
Well, it's sort of in a typical style for the sort of plastic campaigns that everyone is running this year. He sort of brushed it off in a normal way. He sort of said, oh, ha, 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 you know, September. Did I say September? I meant December. You know, and if he meant December, why didn't he say December? If he can't really remember what month it is, perhaps he doesn't deserve to be running the country.
Now, that's one of the dates that I think is pretty much beaten into your head,
I would
December
say,
7th,
yes.
Right? Both in school and through the media. I mean, the media doesn't let you forget that it's December 7th.
No.
So, you know, even if you don't know the exact date, you know it's sometime in the winter. Especially if you live through it, you know, it's sometime in the winter. And, you know, you look around, you're giving a speech, you realize it's not winter, it's summertime. So just because the word September sounds like December.
I think they have the same number of letters.
Yeah, they sound very similar. But, I mean, that means he really doesn't know when it is, if he can mix it up because of the way the months sound. When you know when something is... You know, hey, it's my birthday because it's this time of year. You know, I know it's coming up. Christmas is coming because it's cold. New Year's is coming because it's cold. It's going to be, July 4th. It's hot, you know. You don't say, let's pretend December sounds very much like July, okay? You wouldn't say it's December 4th is July 4th because the 2 months sound alike. It's the time of year. And September is pretty far removed from December, I think.
Well, you know, Eric, I think you're being a little bit hard on him. I think it's possible that he was just... conserving his mental energies for things that are really important, like how he's going to redecorate the White House or something like that.
What I want to know is, was this in the speech? Was he reading from a speech? Which, if he was, that means it got by the speechwriter and everybody else.
That's what I want to know. Did the wording actually say that he called it the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the day that he was giving the speech? He said
not many people know. That's certainly true. Not too many people are aware of this anniversary, September 7, 1941.
He actually said that.
Something to that effect.
I think that it's amazing that it seems to have been in the form which would indicate that it was prepared, and meaning that it went through a lot of people who didn't catch it. And you're absolutely right that if there's one thing that's emblazoned in people's minds, it's December 7th, 1941. As a matter of fact, the speech that Roosevelt gave, I guess when he was asking Congress to declare war, World War II, was December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. So now I guess we could say September 7th, 1988, a day that will live in extreme typographical error. It doesn't quite have the same portentous ring, and I don't think I could get Congress to declare war by my saying that line, but... It certainly is a heck of a blooper.
Do we have the right to complain that our kids can't find the Pacific Ocean on a map? If the vice president and the person, if we were to decide today, the person that would be president, because that's what those damn polls indicate, he would win. If he doesn't know when a major, I don't know if you call it a holiday or what, but a major event,
date, historical date, I guess
he does not. I mean, you know. Ask George Bush, what does the Battle of 1066 signify? I think you'll get a blanker stare than you get from one of these kids. And that's very troublesome. It's sort of like what America has come to mean. We don't want to learn any other languages. We don't want to know anything about history. We don't care where anything else is. You know, just tell us where the McDonald's are. That's pretty much
that's,
all.
That's a very, you raise a very good question there.
I don't like saying things like that.
People think I
derive a great deal of pleasure from ranking on my fellow countrymen, but I don't. I think it's appalling.
Yeah. Well, we are what we make ourselves, and just sort of taking the attitude that just saying that we're number one does not exactly make us number one.
The rest of the world sits back and says, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. In fact,
you're number one, sure.
if we are number one right now, if you were to take one of these polls, which seems to be the method of deciding everything, among people of the world, you would find that the United States actually has a pretty low credibility rating. In fact, people are really kind of down on us right now. And there's got to be a reason. It's not just coincidence.
And this is not just, you know, sitting back and ranking on the United States.
No.
Because you have to put everything in perspective, you know, with the rest of the world. And you can't put things in perspective with the rest of the world if you don't know where it is. We just know it's out there somewhere. We don't know where, though. We don't care. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I just think, like, there's a lot of bigotry going around today.
Uh-huh.
You know, fashion-wise and all.
Okay. How so, fashion-wise?
I mean, not, you know... If you're like a nonconformist, you get like a lot of people, you know, saying things about you, and it's not just like, you know, people in school who like, you know, who just, you know, get on your case for not being like them. But I mean, you get it from everyone. You get it from, you know, this, you know, school administration. Because, well, I don't know so much about in public schools, but if I don't go to a public school. I go to private school, and they have like a, you know, set dress code and everything.
Well, like I've said before, there's a pretty set dress code in public schools too, except it's run by the students and not the faculty.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just the whole idea. It's not just the students, but I mean, it's the school administration, and you know, they have rules like you can't, you know, they want you to look exactly like everybody, and it's, you know, being forced on you from, you know, someone up above.
Now, why do you think they want you to look like everybody else?
Well, the school, you know, school I go to, they use the excuse that they don't want people drawing attention to themselves.
Exactly.
Yes, and, you know, that's just, like, the whole reasoning behind their rules. They don't want anyone to be, you know, they don't want anyone to look different, and, you know, they don't want anyone to stand out.
Now, if they don't want anyone to look different, do you think they're going to want anyone to act different or to think differently?
Well, yeah, it carries on into that, too.
Right. They can't say that, though, but obviously if you want one, you want the other.
Yeah, well, they do a lot of preaching at my school, too.
It's a whole lot more convenient. Brings us back to the convenient part of the whole thing, you know. It's very inconvenient to be an individual in this world, but it's also a necessity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you counter this?
Well, you know, I do my best at school to, you know, keep within their rules and yet, you know, hold on to my piece of individuality and, you know, nonconformity. Because
are there any examples you could point to?
I don't know. For examples, well, first day of school, you know, we just started school, like, what, Thursday? And I came in, I was wearing all black, and I had my hair spiked up. And, you know, I heard a lot of comments from, you know, new students. They're like, who is that guy? What is he trying to prove? And then the same day, one of the assistant headmasters came up to me and said, your hairstyle is unacceptable. We're going to have to ask that you no longer use that hairstyle. So.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's great what you did. It's terrible what the way they reacted.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you find, I don't know, I look at pictures from Europe. I look at, you know, scenes from West Germany. And you just sort of see people walking around, their hair is blue and it's pink and it's all, people look really strange. And they just walk right next to these old ladies that have been around for centuries, and no one really thinks twice about it.
Yeah.
It just kind of blends together.
Yeah.
When you're an individual and individuality is accepted, it's no big deal.
Yeah, well, I've been around the area here walking on the streets and people driving by in their cars yelling freak at me, so...
I would get the same thing, okay, growing up in suburbia just for walking down the street. Sure. Because in suburbia, you're not supposed to walk. You're supposed to use a car for everything.
Yeah.
You walk, there's something wrong with you. Either your car broke down or, you know, you're just a strange person. So people would actually yell things just based on that fact that someone is walking down the street that only cars use.
Yeah.
I can certainly see them doing that to you with a spiked hairdo, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I got a very special treatment when I was in school. I went to school in upstate New York, further upstate than Westchester, and this was really kind of a mystery to me for a while. But because you know, when I was young, I sort of had certain ideas about how the world was run and how the United States was run. But you know, I was just in high school; I couldn't vote or anything like that, and pretty much I just took it easy. My nickname in high school was Communist.
Hmm.
And people used to walk up to me in the hall, and there was, by the way, I really to this day have no idea what brought them to this conclusion, but they must prepared for days beforehand. They said, we're really going to hurt this moron now. They said, hey, communist. and they seemed very confused when I laughed. You know, they didn't really know what was going on, and they usually went away very confused.
People call me communist too, and it's because I, you know, I'm always questioning values. And I mean, if it makes them happy, okay, but I don't like being labeled on anything. I don't espouse any kind of ideology. Mm-hmm. You know, call me conservative, call me communist, I don't really care, none of it applies. And, you know, I wish there were more people who felt that way. Apparently, there's a few out there, but, you know, it's hard to say how many there really are underneath all the, you know, all the feelings of anxiety as to whether or not you're going to fit in.
Mm.
After a while, you realize you're just never going to fit in, so it's okay, whatever you do. You know,
yeah, well,
reach that conclusion, you're safe.
Well, you know, the thing is the reason most people don't want to be different is because they're afraid that, you know, other people will come down on them for being different. And,
uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of fear in there.
Well, what it turns out in the end, I think, is that the people who come down on others for being different are really the people... I mean, eventually, it turns out that they're the stupid ones, and they're really not getting anywhere. And you realize that sort of person, you don't even need to associate yourself with them if you don't want to.
Yeah. So the question: how long it takes you to reach that conclusion? Mm. And you know, look at every aspect of your life, and think about from cradle to the grave, everything is pretty much done so that you do it just like everybody else.
Mm.
You watch the popular TV shows, you buy the right kind of car, you marry the right kind of girl. You know,
you can buy the same mausoleum. Space.
Everything, every little thing, from the food you buy to the you know, the way you talk. It's all, there's a way to do it and a way not to do it, and there's people that go through their entire lives without ever stepping outside that line. So I don't know. That's I guess a cautionary note there. Anyway,
yeah,
thanks for calling, sir, and good luck in the future. In your if it's a fascist school, I guess good luck there.
Okay, bye.
Take care. 632-6901. We have time for a couple more calls before the brothers move in here on Brain Damage. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah. I want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
I don't know why they called you communists. Was because you were individuals.
I guess so.
Which is ironic when you think about it.
It is ironic because, you know, if you look at a communist regime, the ones that exist today, individuality isn't very prized there either.
You got it.
It seems to be, no matter what government is in charge, individuality is a royal pain. And it tends to be a pain to anybody in charge of anything. Individuality can really mess things up. But it's all we've got going for us.
Now, back to the kid with the simple fact that they don't know geography, that even held true for me. I knew, like, many friends that didn't know the difference between South America and Africa.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was a big thing. I mean, that is 100% true, and I believe to this day they probably... hundreds, if thousands of kids still running around not knowing where, you know, freaking the United States is.
Uh-huh.
So the school system, that one thing is, that's the pets. And hopefully they're going to change it real soon. I know I went to Sachem, and they are doing a lot of changes right now. And I really hope that some kids will graduate knowing something.
Yeah, because once you start knowing things, you realize how much there is to talk about. It's not a pain, you know. The way they present it, it's very unpleasant, and you don't want to learn things because they just make it so unpleasant. But when you actually do learn things, and you read the paper every day, and you see all the things going on in the world, you realize it's fascinating, and it's fun to keep up with this.
Yeah, see, and I was also always, I mean, somebody never looked upon as being taken into a social clique or a social group. Very individual, and I have my own ideas. And I actually took a speech class in my 12th grade year.
Uh-huh.
It was actually this past year. And I did a little skit, you might say, or sort of my own speech that has been building up for years. And I let it loose on this class. And let me tell you something. This class of people who were a mixed brew of, say, social groups seemed to all come together. And I've never had such a turnout with people coming up to me and, you know, appreciating that I took a stand and saying, you know, I'm me, and everybody else can get along with each other just due to the fact that if you throw away all your, you know, machoism or whatever it was, you know, whatever group you thought you fit in with, you know, you threw it away, and everybody was just themselves, it worked a lot better.
Uh-huh. And I hope people remember that, and I hope people who heard your speech and people who are listening tonight take that with them throughout their lives and take a stand on things that you know, mean things to them. Being an individual is a very important part of life, and if you stand up and assert your rights as an individual, then I think you'll get a lot more out of it than if you don't.
Yeah, well, you become a strong individual, and that's the other problem with being an individual nowadays.
Uh-huh.
People hate people with strong wills because they have, you know,
it's one thing to be forceful and domineering, and another to just be an individual and have your own views, and you know, regardless of what other people think. You know, it's how you present it. It's like, you know, Andrew was saying before about the people playing loud music. It's, you can like whatever music you want, just don't force it on other people.
Exactly.
Anyway, we have to go. We'll take one more call. Thanks very much for calling, sir.
No problem.
And one more call before we run over too much, and then we will call it a night. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I just, you know, you're talking about individuality and everything like that, and I'd like to make a comment on the people who, like, consider themselves nonconformists, but look down on people who are conforming.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting point.
So, which I think, you know, I'm considered at the school that I go to be nonconformist, but I also happen to speak to people who, you know, are considered conformist preppies. I also talk to people who are into heavy metal because I think it's important that you learn to know every person for who they are, not what they look like or the types of music that they listen to.
Uh-huh.
Because all that's
uh-huh.
important is really what's inside and not the clothes that you wear. And I think it's sad that the people who are nonconformists in my school consider me not to be a real nonconformist because I don't only talk to those kind of people. And then they blame all of the conformists, so to speak, to segregating themselves, and actually they're doing the same exact thing.
Well, you see, if they are a group of nonconformists believing one thing, then they're not a group of nonconformists,
right.
Because nonconformists, you can't have a group of individuals. You know, individuals are only individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's once you band together and start having viewpoints on other people, then you've suddenly defeated your own purpose.
Yeah, well, that's the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, this is actually a very good point. One of the problems with people who sort of... I mean, ego is always a problem with individuals, if you want to put it that way. And it's very easy to become elitist and say, well, because I think for myself, I'm better than everyone else. And that's just really stupid. Uh-huh. And if people...
I'm listening to all these people call, and you know, saying, like, oh, well, I think it's really good that you're a nonconformist and you do what you want, but I think it's important that you do what you want and do...
Well, then you see, you're doing the same thing. As long as you know you're doing what you want to do, and you're doing it for your reason, not just to fit in with everybody else.
Or just not to fit out. If you do something just to be different, I think that's bad. I think you should do something just because you like it or you mm-hmm. want to, not because everyone else thinks it's wrong or thinks it's strange.
Well, a lot of time that coincides. A lot of time you have to do something that's different to be an individual because we're not encouraged to be individuals enough. So that's the, whenever you do something individual, you're doing something different. That's the point we were making.
Well, yeah, I know. I understand that. I was just trying to say that I'm friends with a lot of people who do things just not because they like them. I mean, I know of people who listen to, like, types of music that they really don't like, but they like the attention that they get for it. And whether it's bad or good, you know, I'm trying not to make an opinion on it, but I guess that I am. I just think that you should do something if you like it. Like, I listen to a lot of music. I listen to classical. I listen to hardcore. And I hear it from my friends who listen to classical music that it's bad that I listen to hardcore, and the people who listen to hardcore who think it's bad to listen to classical. Really, it's just a mess, and you should just do what you want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another really good point. I mean, you shouldn't go around setting your hair on fire just because no one in your school has ever set their hair on fire before.
Exactly. Okay.
Well, I think it's if you're listening to different kinds of music and different kinds of people are telling you it's bad, I think you're well on your way to becoming an individual.
Well, thank you. And I also like to comment on you. I think you have a wonderful show, and I listen to Brain Damage every single week, and this is the first time I've called in, and I just like to compliment you because I think you're doing a wonderful thing.
Well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, no problem. Have an excellent night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a nice call to end things on here on Brain Damage. It's, we got a lot of calls tonight, didn't we?
Yes.
Well,
a lot of bingos, I guess.
Individuality, I guess, is a hot topic, you know, and something we should always be thinking about because it affects us in every little thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment the last caller made about the different kinds of music, nowhere does that apply more than here at USB, where we play so many different kinds of music. And you meet people that are into so many different things, classical music and bluegrass and reggae, and we all pretty much tolerate each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we may hate the kind of music that we play, but we realize everyone has their own taste. And what you end up developing is a taste for all different kinds of music in the end. And it broadens your horizons.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I think someone's lost in one of their horizons right now.
Oh, really? Well, we can retrieve them after the show. The brothers are coming up for lobotomy here at midnight. It's a little after midnight. Brain Damage has run over. We are sorry. Jim Wiener, Joe Chinaki, thanks very much for stopping by. And hopefully we'll see you again in the future.
Thank you.
And this is Eric Corley. I'll be back again. I assume I'll be back next week. You never know what's going to happen. And thanks to all the callers for calling in. Good night.
The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonehead faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. Throw away the key. Someone in my head. not me.